It's great to see you all. You feeling good?
Yeah.
Some good songs there. You know, we had a great conference 2 weeks ago already. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, and God's been doing great things since we got back. It was awesome. See Alex become a disciple on Sunday, and definitely super encouraging, and look forward to seeing all the other things God does as he brings in the semester here. I'm excited about Campus Sunday, you know, and we're going to have, you know, do you guys remember the skit that Eden and Desiree and Kyrie did together? Oh, they're doing it again. They are doing the skit again. We're going to have different people doing the welcome. Chisholm is going to be sharing her story for communion. And we got Matt, Mark, and Charles are splitting the sermon up, preaching the word together. Yes way. The way. That's our theme. Look at this. We got it. So things are happening. It's exciting. So are you guys enjoying the book of Acts as we're studying this out together? So you sick of it or are you liking it?
No.
All right. It would be terrible if you were sick of it. That shouldn't even. I shouldn't have even asked that. So, you know, last week we got to have some people share about their conference experience and what they're taking away from that. And I hope you guys have been able to talk about that some more with each other. And as we talked about that, we also looked at the beginning of Acts chapter 9 with the conversion of Saul. You guys remember that? You know, Saul, who was, you know, arresting and casting his vote to kill and destroy the church, becomes a disciple. You know, Saul, a.k.a. Paul, and at this point, the Bible and myself are going to mainly refer to him as Paul. So we do know from last week those are the same people. But so last week we talked about Saul, who's a major persecutor of the church, becoming a disciple. Amen. And praise God that he became a disciple because he does incredible things for God. So now the rest of the book of Acts, Paul becomes a huge advocate for the gospel. You know, now the greatest persecutor of the church becomes one of the greatest promoters of Jesus. And without hesitation, Paul quickly becomes one of the most impactful disciples in God's kingdom. And that's what we're going to look at tonight is the early discipleship of Paul in the rest of Acts chapter 9. And what we see is that without hesitation, he quickly grows and helps the church to grow as well. And I think we can learn from him that it doesn't need to take a long time for us to also grow spiritually and to have a spiritual impact. You know, we're all young in the faith in here that are disciples, right? So, you know, in here you might feel like, oh, I've been a disciple 2 years, you know, but in the grand scheme of things, that's pretty young still, you know? And, you know, as a young disciple, whether it's been just a few days or it's been just a few years, you know, you can grow tremendously and have incredible impact for God. You know, as a young disciple, you can actually grow even more exponentially than you can if you don't grow soon and you wait a while to grow, you know? And that's one of the things I'm learning as Chelsea and I have a baby is that babies grow very quickly. You know, I mean, real fast. I don't know if you guys already feel like Bradley is a lot bigger, but he's just growing quick. I mean, he's like almost triple his birth weight already. You know, if any one of us tripled our weight in 6 months, it would be terrible, you know? So, seriously. Somebody, you know, Manny talked about warning the idol. You would have to be warned. Like, brother, if you continue this way, you will explode, you know? This is, you know, it's okay though. It's good. It's healthy for babies to grow quickly, right? And you know, I got this board in our sunroom where I get to measure Bradley. And you know, I'm going to do once a year, but for now I'm doing sooner. So I did birth, 1 month, 6 months. And between 1 month and 6 months, it was like 4 inches or something, you know? And I'm like, my gosh, once again, if we grew like that, it'd be weird, you know? But it's good for babies to grow quickly. I feel like in other ways, even for us as adults, our lives kind of go quickly and can kind of, we could grow and it could kind of pass before our eyes pretty fast, you know? And you guys feel that way? Like, oh my gosh, I'm in college. You know, for me, oh my gosh, like I've already been done with college for 2 years. You know, I have a baby. What? You know, it's crazy how fast you can grow in life. And I had an interesting experience the other day. Chelsea and I were home having dinner and somebody knocked on the door and I answered it and I opened the door and it's two people standing there and they say, hi, is your mom or dad home? And I'm the owner of this house. It was funny. It was a good, I feel like, wow, I am the dad here, you know? Yes, the dad is home, and it is me. You know, children grow quickly, and we could grow quickly, too. And I just want to encourage you guys that wherever you're at in your spiritual walk, new to the faith or not, you can have explosive growth spiritually. Right, so tonight we're going to look at the early discipleship of Paul. How did this man go from a destroyer of Christians to a diehard disciple? How did he grow like that? So you guys want to look at Acts 9 together? And let's see how we can imitate his early discipleship for our own explosive spiritual growth and impact. Amen? Let's look at Acts chapter 9, starting in part B of verse 19. There's no B, but you know, you see what I mean there. So it says, right before this, verse 18, immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. Isn't this an awesome start to his Christianity?
Yes.
You know, we're going to look at this more, but I want to focus in on this one part where it says, yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus. Isn't that inspiring and interesting to see that there? So do you want to be somebody who spiritually is growing more and more powerful?
Yeah.
You know, that's what I want. I want to be somebody, and we should all want to be someone who God is using and that we're growing in more and more powerful ways. You know, Saul becomes a disciple, and without pause or hesitation, he dives right into his discipleship and immediately begins to have an impact for God that would continue for the rest of his life. You know, and it says Paul grew more and more powerful, and the Greek word there for powerful, and I'm probably going to butcher this in pronunciation, but the Greek word for powerful is enadynamauto, something like that, right? Enadynamauto. So, you know, you break this down, en, this beginning here, en means like to be made, like in the word enable, right? So to be made able. Does that make sense? So the beginning of this is saying, okay, to be made something. Like enable means to be made able. So this means to be made what? Well, what's the rest of the word here? Dynamo. You know, this is really similar to the word used dunamis, right? In Hebrews chapter 4 for the word of God being living and active. You know, so dunamis and dynamo, which is the rest of this word here. You know, these were Greek words that we derive today the word dynamite from. Right? So the real, like, intrinsic meaning of this verse is powerful, explosive, living and active. So if we put that together, and dynamauto means to be made powerful like dynamite, right? And dynamauto means to be made explosively powerful. You know, God enabled Paul to be spiritual dynamite, to have explosive growth in him and through him. Saul was made more and more powerful. He grew more and more in dynamauto. Isn't that inspiring?
Mm-hmm.
You know, as passionately as this man was forcefully destroying Christianity, he was now even more powerfully advancing it through the explosive power of God. You know, the power for the former destroying the church, who is that coming from? That's coming from himself, coming from Satan, right? You know, the power for the former was coming from himself or coming from Satan. But the power for the latter, advancing the kingdom, who is that power coming from? That power is coming from God. Much more powerful. You know, so I want to ask you guys, do you want to have explosive spiritual growth and impact? Do you want to live a life that's like, you know, just like, oh, that was, you know, disappointing, you know? Or do you want to have a spiritual growth that's just inspiring and incredible like Paul did? You know, that's what we want, right? You know, do you want change in yourself spiritually that will allow God to use you in amazing ways like he used Paul? Where people look at you and are like, is that really the same person? Like they did with Paul. Is that really the same woman? You know, isn't that the one that before was doing this? And now look at their life. You know, God wants you to be baffling.
Yeah.
He wants your life to baffle people. Where people are like, what's going on here? This person is filled with some sort of power. And really, it's the power of God that's in you. You know, we are not going to have any sort of explosive or incredible impact staying still or staying the same. But we will have God-inspired impact through our lives when we have God-enabled explosive growth, like Paul did. When we allow God to grow us spiritually in inspiring and incredible ways. You know, God wants us to grow to be used by him, like Paul. So how do we do that? You know, my encouragement to us tonight is for us to be a group, but really for you to be a person who is always growing in powerful ways. You know, for you to be a person who's like, I want to grow spiritually, hungry to grow, eager to grow, desperate to grow. Would you like to be that?
Yes.
You know, I want to plead with you for us to be a group of people who is always growing. And I believe that biblically, if we're a group of people who are always growing, we will be a group of people who are always growing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If we have explosive growth in ourselves, we will have explosive growth in the church from ourselves,
yeah.
Right? By God's power. So can we do that? Can we be that? So let's look at how God enabled Paul to grow so much and break the rest of this passage down here. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
So it says, we're going to read this again. So looking at how he became more and more powerful. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? Okay, so there's a few things we could get from this about how can I have explosive growth? How can I grow incredibly? Well, what did Paul do? What was in Paul's early discipleship? You know, I believe one of the main things we see here is Paul's godly sorrow that led him to repentance. You know, Paul's godly sorrow and repentance led to God empowering him with this explosive growth and power. You know, repentance. How do we see repentance in this? Well, the first sentence. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. 3 days earlier, what was Saul on his way to Damascus to do? To arrest and kill those people. 3 days later, what is he doing? He's spending several days with them in fellowship as brothers, sisters. If that's not repentance, I don't know what is. That is black and white. Repentance is not just feeling sorry about something. Repentance is mind change that leads to action change, right? And it comes from godly sorrow. You know, so he had this explosive growth because he had godly sorrow and repentance. You know, and this wasn't like meh repentance. This was like full-blown radical repentance. I mean, he came in there and could have been like, well, I won't kill him, but maybe I'll just, you know, ignore him, you know? I'll just kind of recover and then head out and maybe one day I'll come back and meet the disciples here, you know? But no, he had radical repentance where he dove right into relationships with the people he was previously going to arrest. That's repentance. You know, biblical repentance is radical change of mind that leads to radical change in action. And if you have that, you will grow tremendously. You'll see incredible spiritual growth in your life if you have that godly sorrow that brings repentance. You know, when you really know that your sin and what you did to Jesus, what Jesus did for you, then you'll have the power to have that explosive growth. You know, there's so many passages I could read, but let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 quick, or I could just read this to you and you could stay in Acts chapter 9, but listen to what Paul writes to Timothy about his repentance and his godly sorrow. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, it says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, right? Once again, Paul's power came from God, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Isn't that inspiring? You know, but you see into Paul's heart right there. You know, and you see into Paul's mind that, you know, why did Paul have such explosive growth right away? Well, it's because Paul was now cross-driven. And the result was as it should be, radical repentance. You know, and God blesses repentance. Paul had those 3 days blind, fasting, praying by himself to reflect on his own sin, who Jesus was, what Jesus did for him, and how he was the worst of sinners and the grace that God was now pouring on him. And that is what changed him. That's what made him grow. It was something that he never forgot, writing this letter to Timothy years later. You know, the closer you stay to the cross, the closer you are to the power that brings the explosive growth. Right? So we've got to stay close to the cross so that God's real power, which is in the cross, will be exemplified through our lives and we will grow. You know, Paul had explosive growth because he did not hesitate to put his discipleship into practice, which was because of his godly sorrow and repentance. Does that make sense? You know, right away, he spends days with the disciples. At once he began to share his faith. You know, this is his repentance. You know, he's doing the complete opposite of what he was doing before because he realized who Jesus was and what he did for him and that he was a sinner who now had grace, right? So, you know, you won't have God-empowered growth if you ease your way into repentance and discipleship, right? If you like, well, I'm working on it. I'm trying to change little by little. You got to dive right in. You know, you just got to let the cross completely take control of you, and then you can have that explosive growth. You've got to take the leap of faith, rely on God's power, and dive in. You know, Paul made no excuses about it that he easily could have. He just went for it right away. You know, he went for it right away, which was biblical repentance. Right away, he's spending time with the disciples. You know, so one of the things that will help us have explosive growth is godly sorrow and repentance. But another thing that's going to help us to have growth is to really just go for it right away without hesitation. Yeah. To not go, I'll ease my way, but really just to dive right in. You know, right away, he was spending time with the disciples. He dove right into relationships and fellowship. You know, 2 Corinthians 5, Paul writes, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Right. You know, so he's like, look, I was baptized, born again, and now these people are my family. And I no longer have a worldly point of view on these people, right? So from a worldly point of view, he could be thinking, I have to get to know these people first before I spend a lot of time with them. Or he could have been thinking, well, they don't really know me. He could have been thinking, they're going to judge me. They're afraid of me, you know? They're going to think that I'm still the same old Paul. And some of them did. You know, he could think, oh, they're not going to relate to me, you know, or I'm new here. I don't know. Those are some of the thoughts that could go through our minds, right? You know, but we can't have a worldly point of view towards the family of believers. We have to have a spiritual point of view that once somebody is baptized into Christ, they are family. Whether you know them or not, they're your family. and should be viewed and treated as family. So Paul saw that, so he dove right into the relationships. You know, the more tied in you are sooner, the more God will empower you to grow and help you have an impact. That's what we see in him here. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. But one of the other things I see in Paul with his repentance is at once he began to preach. Isn't that awesome? So he's like publicly maligning the way to completely on the opposite side, publicly preaching about Jesus. You know, and what I want to encourage you guys with is that you shouldn't and don't have to wait to try to help other people to become disciples. You know, there is no good reason to wait for that. You know, whether you're a day spiritually or a week spiritually or months or years spiritually, you should just go for it. You know, so whatever gets in your way of sharing your faith and reaching out to other people, whether it's, well, I just got baptized or I'm pretty young spiritually, or maybe your excuse is it's been a while and I don't know, I just have kind of been out of it, or I don't know what to say or do. Whatever hurdle it is for you, you should not let it hold you back if you really believe that God is the one empowering you. You know, if God's the one empowering you, then it doesn't matter how old you are spiritually. Like Paul, you could just go for it and God is going to bless it. Yeah. You know, you can have dynamic impact right away. And Paul started proving people right away through God's power that Jesus was real. And you can do that too. So I just want to encourage you not to let Satan or yourself have any roadblocks that there's some reason you can't reach out to others and be effective. By God's power, you can, no matter who you are or how young you are spiritually, how long it's been, or how long it, maybe you feel like I should have more by now and guilt's just stopping you. All that could go away and you could just be like, you know what? Starting tomorrow at once, I'm going to preach. Amen. So throw away those excuses. God is stronger than all of that. You know, just a brief point. I believe that starting strong helps you to stay strong and finish strong as well. Now, if you didn't start strong, it doesn't mean you can't start being strong and finish strong. But starting strong certainly helps you end strong. You might feel this with school, right? Like if you get A's and B's in your first few quizzes and tests, that's going to help you do better the rest of the semester. If you start off with C's, D's, and F's, that's going to make it a lot harder to swing it later, right? You know, starting strong helps you stay strong and finish strong. So the truth is, the longer that you wait to really dive into discipleship, the harder these things are going to get.
Yeah.
The longer you wait to get tied in relationally, the longer you wait to start evangelizing, the longer you wait to serve in some way, it's just going to get harder. Yeah. The sooner you start, the stronger you start, the easier it's going to be, the easier it's going to stay. You have to go if you want to grow. You've just got to go for it. Does that make sense? The longer you stand still will only make it harder to take that first step. So, you know, summarize this section. To have explosive growth, keep the cross close and repentance always radically before you.
Yeah.
Don't hesitate. Don't make excuses. Dive right in and let God use you by his power. Amen? You want to read the next section here?
Yeah.
The title up there. Cool. So it says, after many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. Now we'll stop there. You know, the predator becomes the prey, right? He was the one that was going to arrest the Christians, and now he's the one that they're trying to kill. You know how the tables turned here for Paul. But he stays devoted. He stays faithful. You know, the non-disciple Jews begin making plans to kill Saul, right? So one of the things we see in human nature right here is in the world, how quickly people are willing to turn their back on people who disagree with them.
Yeah.
You know, 3 days earlier, they were like, yeah, Paul, we love you and what you're doing. He changes his faith and now it's kill him. You know what I mean? Like, people in the world, so quickly will turn their back on somebody for changing their opinion or view or disagreeing with them, you know? So what we see about God is that he always protects his people, completely different than in the world. And that as God's people, we need to always protect one another, right? Always love one another, no matter what we do or how we end up. But he made sure, you know what I think is, you know, we see that God always protects his people. Why? Because God made sure that Paul learned of the plan to kill him. Right? God protected him. He made sure, hey, Paul, I don't know how he found out, but God made sure that he found out, you know? So he learned of the plan, and, you know, even though they were watching the gates of the city night and day, God provided a way out through the help of some disciples in a basket out a window. You know, and I think what we need to see is that just like, you know, the enemy and the world and Satan started to try to have plans to stop Saul, to kill Saul, and God protected him, we need to know that we too have an enemy that is lurking night and day to take us out. You know, you are living, whether you're a disciple or not, every day there is someone waking up, I don't know if Satan sleeps or not, but starting the day trying to keep you from God and pull you away from God. And I think disciples and non-disciples, we live too unaware of this. Right. Like, just kind of wake up and it's like, whoa, stop. I have an enemy who's trying to ruin me today. Right. You know, we need to remember that. 1 Peter 5:8 says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And then in 2 Corinthians 10, chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, it says, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ Jesus for your sake in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. You know, we have an enemy who's prowling around us day and night waiting for an opportune time to devour us. You know, and it says here that he has schemes for us that we need to be aware of. You know, we need to be aware of Satan's schemes to stop us. And then we need to look for the way out that God provides. You know, Satan tries to make us think that we just have to do what he's putting before us and there's no way out. You know, but God does provide a way out. To have explosive growth, you have to know what can stop you though. Yeah. Right? So if you want to grow spiritually, you've got to know what can stop me from doing well spiritually. You know, you have to be aware of Satan's schemes and not give in, not fall into the trap. You know, Paul would not have had explosive growth had he not known about their plan to kill him. He would have died, right? I'm sure he would have left through the city gate and they would have killed him. You know, or let's say he did know about the plan, but just decided to walk through the city gates anyway. You know, not really living in response to knowing that there was a scheme against him, right? He still would have wound up dead. Paul would have died and the rest of Acts would have been very different. You know, so we've got to know, okay, there are plans, schemes, and enemy working against me, but God provides a way out. And we need to know that as well. You know, as an early disciple, one of the passages that I was first taught and I've held on to since is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you could stand up under it. You know, we've got to know what can stop us, but then we've got to look for the way out that God provides. You know, we've got to go through the window of opportunity God provides rather than walk through the gate of temptation. Right? Paul went out through the window rather than walking through the gate that would have led to his death. You know, I want to ask you, are you aware of Satan's plots and schemes to stop you? What do you need to be careful of and pay attention to? What do you think his schemes are against you? What would Satan use to stop you? What keeps you from having explosive growth? Or what keeps you from causing explosive growth in the church? You know, maybe it's laziness. And you've got to know that. If you know I'm lazy, I struggle with laziness, you need to know that. And you can't just live like you're not lazy. You know, you've got to know I'm lazy. So then you've got to figure out how to not be lazy, right? Like, okay, I've got to set an alarm for sooner or put it over there or have something set up that's going to help me. Like, snooze button is off limits, right? Like, you've got to know I'm lazy and this is what leads me into laziness. So I've got to see the way out that God provides and get out of there, right? You know, or, you know, maybe it's binging on TV, you know, and you've got to figure out something to stop that from happening. You know, maybe it's purity or wanting a relationship or You know, those things, you've got to know I'm tempted with this frequently, and this is what Satan would use to lead me away. So I've got to set myself up for victory against this. I've got to wake up and be aware. Satan might try to take me out through impurity today. Satan might try to take me out through desire for a relationship with somebody in the world today. Like, you've got to know that that would be your struggle, and therefore look out for it. And then look out for the opening God provides. Does that make sense? You know, you might struggle with divisiveness. And I would say right now, you've got to be very self-aware of divisiveness and go, am I going to allow Satan to use politics to get me not unified with other disciples? We're not submitted to God. You know, you've got to be aware of yourself that could politics be something that would cause you to be not like a disciple and to be unspiritual? And you've got to know, you know what then? I can't watch the news. I can't read those articles. I can't post things like that. You know, you've got to know about yourself that that's something that would lead you astray is divisiveness, disunity, factions. Those are in Galatians 5, and those who live like that will not inherit the kingdom of God. So you've got to be aware of that in yourself. Pride. That's something that you've got to be aware of. If you struggle with pride, which chances are you do, you know, I need to be aware of my pride. And when I'm in conversations, I've got to keep myself in check. Rob, pause. Are you really listening to this person? Because you're prideful sometimes, you know? Rob, are you really considering what they just asked you? Like, I need to be aware that I am prideful and I'm tempted with pride so that in those moments I can not be prideful. And I could see, whoa, I don't have to be prideful here. I can listen and be humble. Or I can consider what they're saying and consider maybe I'm wrong, you know? So, you know, you've got to be aware of maybe it's pride that you struggle with, right? So I don't know what it is, but we've all got stuff that Satan is scheming against us with. You got to know what it is for you. And you have to be aware of it. And you have to look for what is the way out that God is providing here for me? You know, so what is it for you? You know, do you look out for it, or you just waltz through the wide gate of opportunity for these things and then time and time again wonder how you wound up there again? You know, like, how did I wind up falling into this again? Or I was prideful again. Or, you know, like, here I am getting discipled on being arrogant again or being divisive. Like, well, maybe you should realize that that's what Satan's scheme is for you by now and start being more aware of it so you don't walk down that road as much. Go out the window that God provides instead. Amen? You know, you have to be aware of what can stop you and always watching day and night. Never let your guard down. The stakes are too high. And a lack of self-awareness will take you out. You know, lack of self-awareness could end you spiritually. You've got to know what are Satan's schemes and be aware of them. Amen? You know, but like I said, it's not just being away. It's looking for, seeing, and taking the window of opportunity out that 1 Corinthians 10 says God always provides. He never lets you be tempted with something that you can't handle. And he always provides a way out. That's like a double help right there. Like, first, I won't let it be something you can't handle. Second, I will provide a way out for you. You know, God is really going above and beyond here to help us out. You know, so we've got to go, okay, God, I know that you've allowed me to be in this situation, therefore I can stay faithful through it and do the right thing. And there must be some decision I can make here that's righteous because I know that you promise you provide a way out, right? So we've got to take those. You know, so when temptation strikes, do you hit pause and look for the way out? You know, that's what you've got to do. Think, I could say this instead. I could ask this, you know, or I could, you know, figure out what's my way out that I could take and something else I could do. You know, before we move on, I just want to say, as you look for the way out, sometimes God will require us to get help from others to get out. Sometimes the way out might require help from other people. Paul got help from other disciples. You know, he couldn't have gotten out of there alone and alive. If he got in the basket and shimmied himself out the window, he would have fallen to his death. He needed other people in there helping him down. Does that make sense? You know, he couldn't have escaped on his own. You know, he needed help from other people. You know, so there will simply be some challenges you just can't get out of alone. You know, probably the biggest sin that God opposes in the Bible is pride. And probably the attribute that he honors most may be humility. So I think that the way out that God provides for us at times involves others and the need for others because it keeps us humble. Right? Like, okay, I need to ask for help because I can't handle this alone. I need help. I need to call somebody. You know, it helps to keep us humble. It takes humility to get help. You know, Saul knew their plan, and then he communicated it to other disciples for help. So what do we need to do? We need to know Satan's schemes, see when we're being tempted with it, look for the way out, but then be open and vulnerable about what's going on, what you're giving into. Get help, ask for help, and then ask for advice with things going on in your life. You know, pull other people in, pull other disciples in. It will save you from many schemes of Satan. You will always be better off getting help from other spiritual men and women than going through things alone. You know, so as we move on in summary of this part here, you will be able to flourish spiritually and grow so much more if you are actively aware of your weaknesses and Satan's schemes to stop you, and if you live always looking for God's way out that he provides. Amen? Amen. That's going to help you to grow tremendously. And can we read this last section here?
Yeah.
Cool.
Come on, bro.
When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the believers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus, which is where Paul was from. You know, so Paul goes from Damascus to Jerusalem. And imagine how Paul is feeling here. The disciples are afraid of him, not thinking he's really a disciple. You know, can you imagine how Paul's feeling, just discouraged? I'm sure he understands, like, okay, guys, I get it. I was, you know, I helped stone Stephen. I was arresting you. I get it. But I really am a disciple. I was preaching. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure he felt discouraged. You know, imagine if you traveled to another region in the church or another, you know, part of the church somewhere, and they were like, we don't think you're really a disciple. You know? How would you feel about that? It would be wrong for them to do that, but you know what's inspiring about Paul is that didn't stop him.
Yeah.
You know, if you came somewhere and everybody didn't accept you, would you still stay faithful? You know, or does it take feeling accepted by people to stay faithful?
Wow.
You know, Paul still stayed faithful even though he wasn't being accepted by people. They were wrong in what they were doing, but Paul was right in the way he handled it.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's inspiring. But thinking about how that felt for Paul, can you imagine? Can you imagine what a difference Barnabas meant to Saul here? Like, thank you, Barnabas. You know, you've got my back, man. I don't even know you, you know? I mean, they had no prior engagement that we know about. You know, who knows the rest of the story and what it would be like if Barnabas, the son of encouragement, didn't step in and be a champion for this man? You know, if he didn't decide to be his advocate, his friend, and believe in him. The conversion of Saul and his explosive growth and impact is surrounded by other disciples that helped him get there. From start to finish, there was other people helping him grow and to be effective. You know, I think that Paul owes his growth and impact to the conviction that he saw in Stephen and the prayer that he heard. Paul owes his growth and impact to the willingness and the courage of Ananias to come into a house alone with him and teach him about Jesus and baptize him. You know, Paul owes his growth and his explosive impact to the protection of the disciples in Damascus that helped him out through the window. And Paul really owed his growth and his impact to Barnabas. To Barnabas's belief in him, encouragement of him, brotherliness to him. You know, and then he goes on to really owe it to the apostles for allowing him to spend time with them and to get training from them, really, for a while in Jerusalem there. You know, and you've got to think about and really appreciate, like really appreciate the people God has put in your life that have brought you to this place today. You know, you should tell them, thank you. Thank you for sharing your faith with me. Thank you for studying the Bible. Thank you for those times you prayed for me. Thank you for discipling me. Thank you for correcting me on that. Thank you for calling me higher. Right? We need to appreciate the Stephens and the Ananiases and the disciples in Damascus and the Barnabases that we've had in our own lives. You know, and we've got to appreciate those people. For us to have explosive growth, these are the relationships that we need. You won't have it without them. You know, we each need to get a Barnabas in our life. Yeah. And I think we each need to decide that we're going to be a Barnabas to other people as well. You know, who is your Barnabas? Who are you a Barnabas to? You should have an answer to both of those questions. You know, as you're following Jesus, you need people to help you. But as you're following Jesus, you should be a Barnabas that's always engaging and investing and pouring your life into helping other people to grow as well. You know, I want to encourage you to be someone who takes somebody else under your wing. Whether they're lost or saved, be someone who really is like a brother or a sister that pulls in people. You're like, I pull people in under my wing and take care of them and help them to grow and be their best for God. I encourage you to be someone like that, because that is somebody like Jesus. Be the relational difference maker for someone. You know, be the person in this room who notices who isn't pulled in. Be the person who looks around and notices who isn't talking to anybody, who isn't tied in. Be the person who notices the person that's going through a rough time and is just really going through something. And you be the person that has the love to step outside your comfort zone and go love like Jesus to that person. You know, be a Barnabas. Be that person who pulls you in and makes them belong. Be the person that pulls in somebody else to help make them belong. Does that make sense? You know, Barnabas did that for Saul, and I'm sure it made all the difference to him. You know, I encourage you guys, let's have these dynamics in our friendships that helps each other to constantly and consistently grow in powerful ways. That we get in there with each other and we're like, hey, I want to help you grow. I want to help you do greater things. I want to help you be more like Jesus, you know? Not in critical ways or, you know, discouraging ways, but in inspiring, encouraging, and helpful ways. Let's help each other grow. Amen? You know, early on, Paul even spent time with the apostles, which he eventually became himself. You know, they must have taught and trained him a lot during that time. That would help Paul become the great leader that he did. And, you know, I just want to encourage you to surround yourself with effective people who God is empowering with explosive growth. And ask them to take you under their wing. You know, look for the people that God is really using to help others grow and help others become disciples and who is really encouraging in the fellowship and engage, and go to that person. And just like Paul would go to the apostles, you go to that person and you say, can you teach me to be more like you in this way? Can you train me to be more like you in this way? You know, we should all be doing that. And I would say, especially if you think that God is calling you to any form of leadership, Bible talk leader, intern, being in the full-time ministry, you especially should be going to other people and going, I think I might want to be in leadership. Can you train me? Yeah. You know, that's what Paul did. Yeah. You know, ask yourself, what do you want to accomplish spiritually? And then get around some people who have done that and are leading the way in those areas. That's what Paul did. Paul had explosive growth because he had powerful relationships. He wasted no time and made no excuses getting tied in. He surrounded himself with disciples that helped him grow, and we should do the same. Amen? You know, the last little section here in closing says, in response to all of this, then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened. Living in fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. You know, the whole church was growing and getting stronger by God's power. You know, as they lived in fear of the Lord and as they were encouraged by the Holy Spirit, the whole church was being strengthened. You know, together, let's make this a time that's not just some of us growing, but all of us growing. Let's make this a time where the whole church throughout the New Jersey campus ministry was enjoying a time of peace and being strengthened. Right? Let's all really go after incredible growth. You know, where we're all being strengthened. We should all decide that we will grow. You know, and that's my really plea and encouragement to you today is that, like Paul, let's every one of us decide, I am not going to be a stagnant Christian. Because that's really not a Christian at all. Yeah. I am going to be a growing Christian. A Christian who's growing by God's power. A Christian who's growing like Saul did in explosive and incredible ways. As we live in fear of him and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, we too will grow and we too will see growth happen through us. We will increase in number as well. Do you guys want to see that happen? Yeah. You know, I definitely do. There's nothing about Paul that made him even close to a likely person to have had this explosive growth and impact. You know, bottom line, God called him and he never looked back. So this is what God did through him. So I want to encourage us, let's be a group of people who are always growing so that we will be a group who is always growing in incredible ways for God. You know, God can have explosive growth in us and through us all if we too are filled with God's power. Amen? Amen. Let's be empowered for explosive growth.